Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, we're going to begin reading at verse 21. Matthew 18, 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Let's pray. Our Father, we continue to look today at relationships. Father, you have been very clear that you want your people to be one another people. People who seek to follow all these one another teachings that you present in our relationships. And Father, today we look at one that's very difficult for us. And thank you for these songs that have brought it to our attention. And I pray now that as we go into your word, we would respond to your word and to you as people who have been forgiven. Father, guide us as we interact with you and your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
We really, 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 really like Jesus. But if you're honest with yourself, you don't really want to become like him. You admire his humility. We all do. But do you really want to be that humble? I mean, you think it's beautiful. I think we all think it's beautiful that the Son of God would get down on his knees and wash the feet of his disciples. We think that's beautiful, but is that really the goal of your life? And is your life headed in that direction of servanthood? You're thankful that Jesus was spit on and abused and that he took it, but you would never let that happen to you. You love the fact that he laid down his rights, but you're going to spend your life fighting for yours and defending yours. You praise him, you sing songs, and you love him, because He loved you enough to suffer during His whole time on this earth for your sake. But you're going to make sure you have fun while you're down here and that you have a good time. In short, you think Jesus is a great Savior, but He's not a great role model. And I say that because a lot of times I'll give messages and it's about the character of Jesus Christ and the way we ought to follow that character, and it's meant with this, hey, no, I can have this, I can have that. And I just got to stop and say, wait a second, is Jesus Christ your role model? Think this through. Is it the desire of your heart that you would be this servant and lay down your life for someone else? The crazy thing about all of this is that 1 John 2:6 says, whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Let me read it again. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. It's not an optional thing. It's not this optional thing, well, maybe I can be a Christian and admire everything about Jesus, but my life will look nothing like His. No, John says, no, whoever claims to live in Him, whoever claims to have Jesus in him, must walk as Jesus did.
Turn with me to that passage, 1 John chapter 2. Verse 6. 1 John 2:6. I'm going to do something different this morning. You know, in 40-some years of ministry and teaching the Word, I have taught on the subject we're going to look at this morning many, many times. I've done it many times in different settings during the years here in this church. And I've tried to do it in many different ways. Giving you four steps to forgiving people. Four reasons why it's a good idea to forgive other people. I have told stories about how people have been unforgiving and then God has changed their heart and they've forgiven. And you know what? In 40 years, it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of difference. People walk away. And I think it's because of what we just heard. We love the idea that Jesus forgave us. But we're not so sure of forgiving others. And it's like the man said there, we admire Jesus and all that He's done and all that He is, but this idea of then becoming like Him and living like Him, well, that's another story. And so today what I'm going to do as we go to our next one another principle in this series is instead of doing a lot of teaching, I'm going to facilitate. I'm going to guide you in your interaction with God and His Word. I think God's Word is pretty clear, what we're going to see. So I don't need to stand here and give you all these cutesy presentations and formulas and stories to touch your emotions and get you to follow what's being said. I'm just going to guide you into interacting with what you see with your own eyes in God's Word. And so we're going to start here in 1 John chapter 2. So I'm going to take my facilitator position here. I'm going to sit down. Just to remind you of what we just saw and heard. 1 John 2:6. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Pretty clear? Whoever claims to live in Jesus, to be united with Him, to have a relationship with Him, must walk as Jesus did, live as He lived. Is that the desire of your heart? We don't even have to think about specific subjects or examples. Let's just think generally here. Do you claim to live in Jesus, to have that relationship with Him? If so, doesn't it make sense that you would desire to live like Him? Add to that 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5, verse 3. This is love for God, to obey His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. They're not oppressive. They're not harsh. They're not too heavy to handle. Sometimes we think they are, don't we? But you see, when we really love Him, we don't see His commands as burdensome. The difference is the love, isn't it? If I love Him, I know He's not pushing some stern, oppressive, too heavy to handle thing on me. He loves me, and I love Him. His commands aren't burdensome. They must be good for me. They must be right. And so, John says, this is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. Now, right now, we're not being specific. We're not thinking about any certain subject. We're thinking about these two general truths. If I claim to be in Christ, I must live as He lived. And if I love God, then I will keep His commands no matter what they are, because my love tells me those commands are not burdensome. So, what I want to do right now is be quiet. And I'm going to ask you to just interact with the Lord right now, just in the quietness of your heart, on what these two verses say. Don't consider subjects now. Consider the general message of these two verses. If you claim to be in Christ, do you desire to live like He did, no matter what that might be? If you love God, are you willing to obey His commands, no matter what that command might be? That's where we got to start. That's the basis before we go to our specific subject. So right now, just in the quietness, I want to just give you time to reflect personally and interact with God and these two scriptures. And I encourage you to reaffirm or affirm your desire to live as Christ lives and to obey out of love His commands. So you interact with God based on these scriptures. Now, for some of us, there is nothing more painful than 2 or 3 minutes of silence. Because we're not used to this thing. We're not used to reading God's Word and then quietly reflecting on it. And interacting with the God who gave us those words. If in your interaction with God there, based on these two scriptures, you in some way affirmed or reaffirmed your desire to be like Jesus and your love for God, which causes you to desire to obey whatever He commands, now we move to a specific command. Now we get specific. But if you made that affirmation and expressed that desire, this specific command falls under it. All right? Today we're going to talk about the one another principle, forgive one another. Forgive one another. Now we're not going to talk about forgiving yourself. That is never mentioned in Scripture. Do not fall for that teaching unless you can find it in Scripture. We're not going to talk about forgiving yourself. We're not going to talk about forgiving God. Do not fall for that. Scripture does not teach that. God has never wronged you. You don't need to forgive Him for anything. We're going to talk about what the Bible does teach. Forgive one another. That's the command. Forgive one another. Do you have a list? Did you walk in here with a list this morning? A list of people who have wronged you, who have hurt you, who have caused you pain in your life? Maybe it was recently. Maybe it was a long time ago. But you've got some people on a list. Maybe they disappointed you. Maybe they sinned against you. Maybe you feel they betrayed you. And as a result, you've put them on your list. I think there are people here who have walked in today with a list and people on that list. You know, 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love does not keep a record of wrongs. Right? Love does not keep a record of wrongs. And yet we do. We have our list. And what does God say to do with that list? I think He says get rid of it. I think He says send it away. Now, that's the literal meaning of forgiveness, isn't it? To send away. To cancel the debt. Send it away. But we have our list. I would like us to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Now, there's no way that this morning I'm going to be suggesting to you that this idea of forgiving people that are on that list of ours is an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do. It's very difficult. It's not natural. We're talking about something that is divine. It's godlike. You know, there's that old saying, to err is human, to forgive is divine. It's very true. To forgive is divine. It's not natural. It's very difficult for us. It's a God thing. It's a God-like thing. So I want to show you two scriptures and ask you to interact with these scriptures and the God who gave them to us. Starting in Romans 12, verse 17, it says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. Now what that's saying, and I don't think it's hard to understand, is that we are not to repay anyone evil for evil. Verse 19, do not take revenge. What is one of the things we do with our list? This list we keep of people who have wronged us. We look at or think about that list, and we're trying to figure out ways we can get back at them. We try to figure out a plan where we can see that they are punished for what they did. We keep that list because we're working out a way that we can get even. Make them pay. As long as we have that list, we will find ourselves thinking like that. It's just natural. Want to get even. Want to take vengeance. This scripture says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do not take revenge. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul is talking about relationships. Verse 31. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. So there's a whole list of things Paul says we should get rid of. And you know what? If we have that list of names of people who've wronged us that we haven't forgiven, some of these things in this list are most likely present. There could be bitterness about what was done to us, bitterness about how we were wronged. There could be anger. You know, anger over how they hurt me, betrayed me. That anger could even lead to rage at moments. At the right time, it could turn into rage over what those people did. There could be brawling and slander. Could be slander behind their back. Maybe to their face, but often behind their back. Talking about them. Just kind of subtly pointing out to other people what they've done to you and what they deserve. But it could lead to brawling. It could lead to outright, every time you see this person, conflict. Or it could be malice, the intent to see harmed or to harm. You know, as long as they're on your list, there's this desire to see that they get theirs somewhere down the road. You know, to see them feel the way you feel, get hurt the way they hurt you. Malice. So these are things in this list that Paul presents here that go along with unforgiveness, maintaining a list of people who've wronged us. And what does Paul say about those things? He says, get rid of them. Boy, isn't that a deep theological thought? No, it's not. He just says, get rid of them. You know they're there. You know which ones are there. Throw those people on your list. And he says, get rid of them. And we say, oh God, I can't. You do it for me. No, he says, you get rid of them. He'll help you. I mean, you've got this powerful spirit living in you. But you have to choose to get rid of these. That's the command. So, two scriptures that are pretty easy to understand, okay? When you're thinking about your list of people who have wronged you, the teaching in Romans is, do not pay back evil for evil, and do not take revenge. And the teaching in Ephesians 4 is, get rid of those certain things that often go along with unforgiveness. Get rid of them. Now remember, many of you reaffirm to God your love for Him, your willingness to obey His commands out of love, and your desire to be like Jesus. With that in mind, I'm going to ask you to take some quiet moments to interact with God about these two scriptures and how they apply to your life and your list. No evil for evil, no revenge, and get rid of these certain attitudes. So, let's do that. Just in the quietness, if you would just interact with God and these scriptures that He presents to you, these two. You know, as I look at this list in Ephesians 4:31 of the things to get rid of, it seems to me that three of them are probably the most common that we experience if we keep that list of people who have wronged us. I mean, in my thinking, bitterness, anger, and the slander, those three would probably be the most common for us to experience. You know, anger, you know, that's pretty common. We're angry about what somebody did to us. The bitterness, I think that's pretty common. This sourness, this bitterness toward the person can be very common. And then the slander, I think sometimes it's pretty easy to say things about these people. I mean, some of us are really creative in doing that. Kind of subtle, but we have a way of making sure people remember what so-and-so did to us and how it affected us. So I think probably in the list, maybe for you, you had to interact with God about rage, about brawling, about malice, but probably those three. And usually what happens is if we don't do what Paul says, get rid of these things, we can soon become prisoners to these things and they can start to consume us. We become prisoners to bitterness, and it consumes us. We become prisoners to anger, to malice, to these things, and they begin to consume us. And then we have what Erwin Lutzer said in his book called when someone wrongs you. Notice his quote from that book on your sheet. He says, forgiveness is releasing the bitterness in spite of the pain. When you forgive, you do not minimize the hurt, the pain, or the evil. What you do is release it into God's capable and loving hands. One bitter man or woman can infect the whole community and bring it down in flames. There is no such thing as a bitter person who keeps bitterness to himself. Our bitterness will always impact somebody else. It always will. Our anger over what somebody has done to us will eventually affect other people. And so you can see why Paul says, get rid of these things. Get rid of them. Send them away. Two more scriptures. First of all, right here in Ephesians, what Paul says next after telling us what to get rid of. He says, get rid of these things, and then verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. There it is. There's the command, the one another teaching. Forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. I think you caught what was happening with the two songs the team sang this morning. The one during the offering called Forgiven, reminding us of the amazing, gracious forgiveness of God. He forgave us. And then the next one was called Forgiveness, and it talked about us then forgiving others. And isn't that what Paul is saying here? He's saying, forgiving each other just as, or since, because God in Christ has forgiven you. The logic of this teaching, I think, is forgiven people forgive. Pretty simple, isn't it? I think that's what he's saying. Forgiven people forgive. This one another teaching is very godlike. It's very Christ-like. We have been forgiven. Therefore, the instruction is forgive others. Paul repeats it to the Colossians in chapter 3 of that book. Colossians chapter 3. Talking about relationships to that church, to that body of believers. Colossians 3:13. He says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Same command, forgive one another. No matter what the grievance is, forgive. And again, you do it because God forgave you. Forgiven people forgive. That's the logic of the kingdom. Forgiven people do the godlike thing and forgive people. Forgive one another. It's not complicated. It's not easy, but it's not complicated, the thinking here. That's what that story Jesus told in Matthew 18 that I read was all about. You know? That was the point of that story. We don't want to get caught up in all the details of that story. That's not the idea of a parable. It's the big idea that's being presented. What was the big idea? Talking about these servants. The big idea we're supposed to get out of it is forgiven people forgive people. Right? That's the point of that story. If you've been forgiven, logic says you then will turn around and forgive. That's the point. And that's what Paul is saying in Ephesians and Colossians. Forgive one another because God in Christ, through His work on the cross, forgave you. Forgiven people, forgive people. So, I want to encourage you, let's take some time to interact with God about that truth He's just reminded us of. With those two scriptures in mind, reflect on them. If you have a list, if you walked in here with a list of people who've wronged you, you need to interact with God here. Reflect on this. This is what He says to you. So let's spend some time quietly doing that. Just you and God and His Word. These two scriptures. So how have we moved along in our interaction with God's Word here? We started with just a basic reflection on the idea of our desire, because we claim to know Christ, being to live like Christ. Okay? Just reaffirming that. I want to walk as Christ walked. I want to be like Him. We've reaffirmed generally, I love God, therefore I am willing to follow His commands. They're not a burden to me. I know they're for my good. God isn't oppressing me. He isn't being harsh with me with these commands. And so we began by just reaffirming generally where we're at on that, responding to those scriptures. I want to be like Jesus, and because I love God, I want to obey Him. Then we move to a specific subject. Forgiveness. Forgive one another. Now, we have the opportunity to put into action what we reaffirmed from those first two verses. And so we move to the idea of getting rid of some of those things that take up our thoughts and our desires if we have put people on a list who have wronged us. We are to get rid of, to let go of any desire to get even or to seek revenge, to just let it go. We've been instructed to get rid of certain things that tend to get in there if I don't forgive. Anger, bitterness, rage, malice, slander. We've been taught to get rid of those. And we've reflected on that. Am I willing to do that based on my affirmation to God concerning those first two scriptures? Am I willing to let go of things like revenge, anger, bitterness, that type of thing? Then we moved to the forgiveness part, where these two scriptures just come right out and say, forgive each other. And the reason is very simple and clear. Because God has forgiven you. That's it. Because God has forgiven you. It's the God-like thing. It's the Christ-like thing. I've been forgiven. The grace of God has been shown to me, and He has forgiven me. Now, I'm called upon to show grace and forgive others. So that's the process we've gone through in just interacting with those few scriptures. And I don't know where that has led you at this moment. I don't know if you've been fighting it all the way the last 20 minutes. I don't know if you've been thinking about the Vikings game during these quiet times. I don't know if you've been thinking about people on that list in a way you shouldn't be thinking of people on that list during those times. I don't know what you did during those times. But the idea was to interact with those scriptures and what God is saying to you. Reflect on that and see what your response should be on the basis of your affirmation at the beginning that you want to be like Jesus and you love God enough to do whatever He says. That was the idea. And so now you have a choice to make with your list. Will you get rid of those things that have been consuming your thoughts, that you always keep coming back to, toward those people? Are you willing to forgive them? Send away those things. Forgive them. You know, maybe on your list is somebody from this church. Maybe it's me, I don't know. But you know, if you've chosen to get involved with this church family, you've chosen to get involved with a group of pretty imperfect people. Now, we're going to disappoint you. We might even say something that'll hurt you, cause pain. I don't know. We're pretty imperfect. But please, don't put us on your list. Follow through with your desire to be like Jesus and your expression of love for God to obey His commands and do what the Scripture says. Get rid of those things that are consuming your thoughts, that are becoming your attitudes and affecting other people, not even involved, and forgive. Why? Well, we could go through all the psychological reasons to forgive and all that stuff, but I think one reason is good enough. Forgiven people, forgive people. That's what Paul says. forgive. Because God in Christ has forgiven you. And there might be people not part of this church family. They're imperfect too. And maybe they're on your list. And maybe they've been on your list for a long time. Isn't it about time we get rid of the list? Love keeps no record of wrongs. And Scripture says, love one another. Here's a way. That's what the one another principles are, aren't they? Specific ways to love one another. Forgive one another. And I tell you what. What a freedom there is, though, in forgiving. What a freedom. You know, you may have walked in those doors this morning in bondage to your list. Just a slave to what those people on your list did to you, and a slave to the bitterness and the anger and the attitudes that you've had toward them. I want you to know that you can walk out those doors free from that bondage. You can. You can walk out those doors free. Because you chose to do the Christ-like thing. To send away those attitudes and to forgive. It's not easy. It's really hard. It's divine. And we have the Spirit of God in us to help us do what's divine, to help us do what is God-like, to do what is Christ-like. I encourage you to make that choice. Forgiven people, forgive. Let's pray. Our Father, nothing complicated. We just looked at what your word says. We thought about it. We gave you moments to just instill your words on our hearts. And now, Father, it's our choice. As people who claim to be in Christ, as people who claim to love you, may we make the right and logical choice. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Who gave his life that we might be forgiven by you, such grace. May we choose to turn around and share that grace with others by forgiving. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.